Okay, turn to Proverbs 2:9. Try to speed it up here. And that one took a little, Proverbs 2:8 took a little longer than I thought it would. Proverbs 2:9 says, "Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." Okay, so we're starting out with the word then, so that tells us that it's definitely connected to what was spoken before. And so let's just very, very brief overview of leading up to this point, right? Because he says, "Then shalt thou understand judgment." So there's something that led up to this, obviously. So we got Proverbs 2 beginning with conditions, desiring, asking, and seeking that have to be met to find the knowledge and wisdom of God. That's the first four verses. And then we find their fulfillment in verses 5 and 6, where the Lord gives the desired reward through his word, right? The Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And then, along with these blessings, the Lord protects and preserves both his saints in their way, verses 7 and 8. And the culmination of the process, then, of asking and seeking on the part of the believer and the giving and protecting on the part of God is the ability of his saints to understand righteousness, judgment, equity, and every good path. So when you seek it and ask for it, and then God gives it to you through his word, and then he providentially protects you and protects your path and gives you wisdom to stay on the right path, once that happens, then you start to get other things. And that's these other things that we read about: righteousness, judgment, and equity, and every good path. So let's look at those things. It says, "Then shalt thou understand righteousness." So the word "then" shows that getting knowledge and wisdom is a prerequisite for understanding righteousness, right? And we already saw what that prerequisite is. So in order to be righteous and to understand righteousness, we first have to know God's word and get wisdom from it. Righteousness is justice, uprightness, rectitude, conformity of life to the requirements of the divine or moral law, virtue, integrity. So a righteous person is somebody who conforms his life to God's law. He lives the way that God tells him to do. That's righteousness by definition. Now, for a man to be righteous, he must conform his life to the requirements of God's law, like I just said. But in order to do so, he must first understand the law, which is the word of righteousness. That's what it says in Hebrews 5:13. That's what God's word is called, the word of righteousness. So it's pretty hard to be righteous without understanding the word. It keeps going back to the Bible, if you notice that. The kind of the theme of these studies is it keeps going back to the Bible, right? That's how important it is. Thus, the aim of obtaining the knowledge and wisdom of God is to understand both what godly living is and how to attain unto it. Let me read that again. Thus, the aim of obtaining the knowledge and wisdom of God is to understand both what godly living is and how to attain unto it. You see, knowledge is not the end of the Christian life. Knowledge is the means to it, right? I think some people are under the false idea, and I've met people like this in the faith, or at least who used to be in the faith, who thought, I think, that the end of the Christian life, like the ultimate goal, was just to obtain the knowledge of the truth, right? That is a short-term goal, but that's only a stepping stone along the path, because you can get all the knowledge, right? But what's it say in 1 Corinthians 8:1? "Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth," right? Knowledge is good, but knowledge just simply having the knowledge and not acting upon it isn't worth much. What does James tell us? That faith without works is dead, being alone, right? So it's not just enough to have enough knowledge of the truth to be baptized and be a member of the true church. And here I am, I'm in the kingdom, I'm baptized, I'm a member of the church, and I know the truth. And that's good, that's good. But keep going, right? There's a lot of things to add to that. You got to keep on that path and keep growing. Then let's look at the next one. "Then shalt thou understand judgment." This is the next attribute that the acquisition of knowledge and wisdom facilitates. As was noted in the comments in the previous verse, judgment is the ability to use the faculties of wisdom and discernment to make sound decisions to arrive at correct opinions while navigating the course of life. That's my definition. I just kind of put that back in there. That's what judgment is. And the most effective way to understand judgment is to study God's perfect example of it found in His Word. And there's many verses in the Bible that talk about God's judgments. So if we acquaint ourselves with His judgments, then we'll have wise judgment ourselves. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 160. And then I'll give you, I just thought of a practical example of this. Psalm 119 and verse 160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." So God's judgments are His word. It's kind of like studying case law, which I'm not really a big fan of. A lot of constitutional law, when people study constitutional law, they don't really study the Constitution. They study case law. They study decisions that have been handed down by Supreme Court justices about what the Constitution says. But they don't actually study the Constitution itself. They study what the judges think that it meant and have ruled that it means. And so if you want to be a good lawyer, I guess, you study the judgments that have been handed down by the judges. And whether those judgments are right or not in that case doesn't really matter, because other judgments are going to be made based on those former judgments, right? So you ever heard of precedent? They refer to that in the legal system as precedent. That's why these lawyers, when they're studying, they'll study all the previous judgments, and then they'll be able to make arguments based on those judgments. So that's a flawed system, but this is not a flawed system. These are God's judgments. So when you study God's case law and you see what judgments He's made, then you learn to make good judgments yourself. You know? So I thought that was a pretty good example, and I just thought of that right off the tip of my tongue, or tip of my tongue, whatever, mm-hmm. edge of my head or something, whatever. Oh, it's late, and it's been a long day. Then shalt thou understand equity. So we got righteousness, judgment, and equity. This is the next attribute that finding the knowledge of God will facilitate. Equity is the quality of being equal or fair, fairness, impartiality, even-handed dealing. So this is a little bit different than the other ones, because the other ones were more self-centered in a good sense, right? Righteousness, judgment, those all have to do with yourself, right? And you can be righteous all by yourself, and you can have judgment within yourself. But equity, you pretty much almost have to have, you have to be dealing with other people outside yourself to have equity, because you're dealing fairly, and you can't deal fairly unless you're dealing fairly with somebody else, right? So this is the other one. This is the quality that the knowledge of God will help us to gain. So having understood righteousness and judgment, which are inward and personal virtues, the knowledge of God next leads a man to understand equity, which, when properly understood, affects not only himself, but also dealings with his neighbor. So I think another interesting thing about this verse is just the word order. If you look at Proverbs 2:9 again, "Then shalt thou understand righteousness, judgment and equity." And the word order is in keeping with the two greatest commandments of the law. And who remembers what the first, you don't have to quote it verbatim, but what's the first commandment, the greatest commandment?
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
Mm-hmm. With all thy soul and thy mind and thy strength. Yep, that is the greatest law, Jesus said. Matthew 22:37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." And another place he says strength. And this is essentially righteousness, because remember what Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So when Jesus said you love the Lord your God with everything you have, how do you do that? By keeping his commandments. And what is that? That's righteousness by definition, right? Conforming yourself to the law of God. So there's the first one, righteousness. But then, and just judgment. And then the next one, equity. And what is the second greatest commandment?
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Exactly. Matthew 22:39. And this one then encompasses equity, because if you love your neighbor as yourself, then you're treating him as you would desire to be treated. In other words, you're treating him fairly or equitably. So the word order there makes a lot of sense. Righteousness first, then equity. Proverbs 2:9 also follows the pattern that James set forth. In James 3:17, it says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure," that's like righteousness, right, when you're pure, "first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality." you know what without partiality is? Equity, right? Because if you're partial, you're showing favoritism and you're not treating people equally and fairly, right? You're giving somebody a break because he's your buddy or he gave you money or whatever, you like him, and not treating somebody else the same way. And without hypocrisy. So James says the righteousness which is above, or the wisdom which is above, is first pure, first righteousness. And then after that, equity without partiality. I thought that was kind of neat. It's fitting that the seeker of truth will come to understand righteousness, judgment, and equity in that order, because that's the order in which that God operates. And I think this is interesting, too. I'm just going to read you a couple of verses here where this same exact order is given. Psalm 98 and verse 9 says, before the Lord, this is one of those verses where it starts out, the verse starts out in the middle of the sentence. If you look that up in Psalm 98, we can do that just for the fun of it. Psalm 98. There's a few verses in the Bible like that where, for whatever reason, it's very odd to me, but for whatever reason, whoever the guy in charge of making the verse divisions was, and I forget who that was. That was done in the 1500s, I think, in the Geneva Bible, I think, was the first one. But anyway, whoever did it, they broke the verse up right in the middle of the sentence, not even where there was a punctuation or a semicolon or something, but right in the middle. Psalm 98 and verse 9. Is that what I'm looking for?
Mm-hmm.
12. Oh, there's another place that has that. It's in the wrong spot on the...
Oh, I was in 96. I'm sorry.
Oh, 96 is the other one. That's the one that I was thinking of. It's the same exact thing, 96:13. Yeah, I know. Yeah, but 96:12 and 13 does the same thing. Shall all the trees of the wood rejoice? And then verse 13 starts off with before the Lord. Mm-hmm. Why didn't they break it up like after Lord? That's just strange. But anyway,
it
doesn't...
poetic, though.
And maybe that's why, yeah. But it doesn't matter. I mean, they didn't alter the text of Scripture. They just put a number between the words. Psalm 98 and verse 9. Let the hills clap their hands, and let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. Next verse. For he cometh to judge the earth. Now watch this. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. You see there, he cometh to judge, there's judgment, with righteousness, there's righteousness, shall he judge, judgment, the world, and the people with equity. So righteousness, judgment, equity. And then I'll give you another one in Isaiah 11 and verse 4. It says, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. So righteousness, judgment, equity, again, in that same order. So I think that was kind of interesting. And then lastly, in Proverbs 2:9, he says, then shalt thou understand every good path. So the understanding granted to the diligent seeker of truth doesn't end at righteousness, judgment, and equity. It's every good path. And that kind of just encompasses anything else good that you could think of, where Solomon didn't have to delineate a whole bunch of other things. So that tells me that there's no honorable course that a Christian can walk for which the Word of God will not prepare him by imparting to him the understanding necessary for a prosperous journey thereupon. Every good path. And that would be paths that you could choose in your education or your business or your hobbies or your family or whatever. Any path that you could think of, the Bible's going to have something to say about it. At least it's going to have some general principles to give you to teach you the right path to take in whatever area of life. Every good path. And that takes us to Proverbs 2 and verse 10.